Episode 17, How Much Are You Worth?
Hello,
my name is Angela. I am a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I am a wife, I'm a mother of four, and I'm a stepmother of three. I was married for 14 years when I began to learn the secrets my now ex-husband had been keeping from me, all starting with his affair. My world, my identity, my worth were all in question. I didn't know or trust anything. But through that tragedy, something amazing happened. I found myself, and I began to learn how to truly love the person I saw in the mirror. It's not a destination, it's a journey. However, now I can honestly say that I am a beautiful, strong, intelligent, and brave daughter of God. I am a trauma survivor and thriver, as well as a certified life coach. I want to share my story, as well as my experiences and what I've learned, to bring others hope, healing, and help. So come with me, and together we can find courage in betrayal. All right, so we're going to talk about self-worth a little bit. Do you know and understand your value and worth? No, really, not in the sense that you know you have worth, but do you know how much you are worth? Or what you are selling your worth for? Isaiah 13:12 says, I will make men, meaning human, more precious than fine gold. Mosiah 28:3, now they were desirous that salvation should be declared to every creature, for they could not bear that any human should perish. DNC 18:10, remember the worth of souls is great in the sight of God. I grew up hearing and believing these scriptures. I've always known that I am a daughter of God and that my spirit is of infinite worth. But how does God's worth translate into how I feel about myself? How much of my own self-worth is dictated by others? Do I give up my worth and value for other things, such as to keep the peace? What is the cost that I ultimately pay to compromise my beliefs, my desires, my hopes, my needs, and my expectations? These are the questions and the reality of a people pleaser, because everything has a cost. There was a time that for me, the answers to these questions were not ideal, and needless to say, awful. All it really took was a little flattery. Tell me I'm pretty, or important, or I'm special, or that you love me. And I freely gave up my identity, desires, and values as a sacrifice or to show as evidence of my love in return. I truly believed that love was selfless. Therefore, I needed to be selfless if I ever wanted to be loved. My self-worth then became dependent on others to tell me what my value was and how I should be treated. This is quite literally the definition of codependency. When talking about codependency, I often pictured someone in a physically abusive relationship. Someone who feels so little of themselves that they stay and continue to get abused because somehow they think that that's love or that they deserve it. I often felt sorry for these individuals because I felt so sad that they didn't know that they were worth more and that they were just too weak and pathetic to do anything about it. At least that was the story I told myself. So I didn't want to admit that I was codependent because that would mean I was weak and pathetic. And I was not about to do that. So I thought in order to not be codependent, I needed to be more independent to prove that I was self-sufficient. Therefore, I pushed my husband away. I found friendships to give me the companionship and connection I needed to live my life. It wasn't always that simple, but honestly, right before I found out about my ex-husband affair, I was the happiest I had been in a very long time. And I thought I had fixed the problem. I stopped asking him to be home for dinner. I stopped asking him to help me with the kids. I simply decided that if I wanted to do something, I would do it with or without him. I became hyper independent and thought that I had fixed my codependency. But that wasn't the answer either. Honestly, I do feel like it saved me for a time, and it helped me get to the place that I ultimately needed to be to finally heal in the right way. But because I stopped trying to connect with my husband, the cost was no one was, and his affair began to bloom. Now, I do not blame myself for my husband's affair, but my actions did have consequences, and that gave him the opportunity for an affair, and he took it. He could have chosen to work on our connection, or he could have chosen to leave the relationship, but instead, he chose to start a new relationship and hide and keep it from me. He wanted to blame me for his actions, and that it was my fault he felt lonely, or whatever. This is a pile of dog doo-doo, by the way. It was his way to justify his behavior and choices instead of taking accountability for them. So, this is me taking accountability for mine. It was hard to admit, but I was not blameless. I was not the perfect wife or person, and I had many behaviors I had to learn and then change. I see those now, and I continue to work on them. My ex-husband may not have cheated at that exact moment had I had done things differently, but his choice was evidence that the fact that he was always willing and could. His choice was his, and at the end of the day, it had nothing to do with me and what I did or didn't do. But my hyper or fierce independence wasn't really the answer. So what is? Recently, I saw a video and the person on the video was talking about codependency, just in general. But then she said this, what we should actually be striving for is interdependence. Oh, and I fell in love with that term. Interdependence to me is depending or relying on your inner self, meaning you trust yourself. You value yourself and you respect yourself. Then when something or someone comes along and tries to get you to doubt those things, you are grounded and cannot be persuaded otherwise. The reality is that codependency and hyper-independence are opposite sides of the same problem. It comes from being and feeling insecure and inadequate. Codependency is desperately hoping that others will fill the void you fill within yourself, while independence is trying to prove you don't need or have a void and purposely push everyone away. Either way, it's just a band-aid. It doesn't stop the void and it doesn't fill it. Did that make any sense? I hope so. So yes, interdependence is still relying on yourself, but it's not at the expense of others. It's relying and believing in yourself, loving yourself, and knowing that you are enough. That way you aren't looking for others to help you and to feel that way, and you're not trying to prove anything to anybody by doing whatever you need to, despite what it does to somebody else. Okay, so all that sounds great and easy on paper, but how do we actually do that? How can we love ourselves without turning cold? Especially in an abusive or manipulative relationship. How do we survive when others are not respecting us or our needs? The natural mechanism we turn to by default is shut down and stop trying. This is why abuse and manipulation work, because eventually the abused give up their self-worth and submit to the abuser in order to survive. But the cost is we lose ourselves in the process. We tell ourselves that it's easier, that we will never get what we need. So it's easier to give it up freely than to have it ripped from us. It's a way for us to feel like we have some control. Maybe, like we have some kind of choice. So we choose to accept, we choose to take it, and we choose to hurt rather than fight back. However, it's far too easy to blame and feel like we don't have a choice, that we are helpless, and that there's nothing we can do. But that's not true, and deep down, we know that. But it's too painful to admit that we chose that. It's too painful to believe that we sold our self-worth and value just to survive. And so we shame ourselves and cycle further down, ultimately just repeating the same behavior over and over. It's such a vicious cycle that seems never ending, but there is a way to break free, but it will have a cost as well. Before I go into all of that, I want to share a story with you. During my recovery and while I was still married to my ex-husband, I had a big struggle. I would actively try to seduce or sleep with my husband, even though I was still extremely hurt and very angry. After I'd done some work, I discovered that I did this because a part of me believed that if he slept with me, he wouldn't be able to leave me. I was afraid that if I didn't have sex or invite him to my bed, he would continue to go to hers. But here is the problem. Often I would discover that he had been with her earlier or soon after we were together, leaving me feeling even more used and empty. Another problem was as soon as I slept with him, I would have this huge wave of guilt and shame fall over me. I honestly felt like a hooker, and I can remember crying after I slept with him because I didn't feel safe, secure, or intimate. It felt empty, and I felt like I was nothing more than just a vessel. I knew in my heart he wasn't sleeping with me because he cared for me as a person. But there was that part of me that believed maybe he would start to see me once he did. But he never did, and it left me so broken, and I hated myself. I felt disgusting and completely worthless, which only drove me to continue the same vicious cycle over and over, digging my self-worth deeper and deeper into the ground. When I began to understand this behavior, I had a strong desire to stop it. But in order to do that, I had to change some things. So I created a boundary for myself. Remember, boundaries need to have an if-then plan to be a boundary. Therefore, if I slept with my then-husband when trust and safety had not been cultivated, then I would have to watch or read testimonies of women who had been in the porn industry but have since left. Now, if you have never read or seen these testimonies or stories, they are not easy to hear. It is heartbreaking to listen to these women describe what they did and why, how much they hated every minute of it, but felt they had no other options, how they used drugs and alcohol just to get through it, how things escalated and grew. Oh, it's just awful. It's a side to porn that no one talks or even really thinks about. It takes an already dark and awful thing and shows you the shadows within the darkness. And I hated it, but it was so important to see and know. I will never forget one woman who talked about how she was a teen runaway and she was just struggling to live and survive. The first time she was offered money for sex, it was for $13. And she took it because she was so desperate. I sat there and thought how she believed her worth was valued at $13. And that was it. That perspective helped me to see what I was selling my worth for. And it was a lot less than I would have liked. I was selling my worth for an idea or for a promise. Everything has a cost. So back to my previous question, how do we actually do it? Well, it starts with learning to love, accept, and forgive the person you see in the mirror. I was so mad at the girl that continued to sell her body to her husband, and I made sure she knew it. I tore her down and told her she was pathetic and sad. I told her she needed to be better, and that I was so disappointed when she wasn't. I was the worst friend to myself. If any other person talked to me the way that I did, I would remove myself and I would not be friends with that person. So why did I feel it was okay to talk to myself in this way? All I had ever wanted was for my ex-husband to love and respect me, but I taught him how I wanted to be treated by how I treated myself. He was only following my example. I believed in this fairy tale that my Prince Charming would love and honor me more than anything else in the world, including himself, and despite any lack that I may have for myself. I thought he would see my value more than I valued myself. Or at least that was always the dream, the hope, the thing that I held on to. That one day he would see how precious I was and treat me that way. I hoped that my husband's affair would be the catalyst for that. I fantasized that the darkness would be lifted and he would finally see me and how hard I fought for him and our marriage, and then treasure it forever. It was everything I held on to, this dream I created in my head. When I began healing and loving myself, the cost was my marriage. I had to make a choice, my self-worth or my marriage. It was a hard choice and no one can make that for you. But I knew for me, I could not love myself and respect myself if I stayed. So I left. It's heartbreaking on so many layers, but healing begins when we realize that every choice we make has a cost. When we put our needs to the side and we put everyone else before us, the cost of that behavior is we will end up believing that we don't deserve more or better. We freely give up and trade our value in for the hope of being loved, for promises, for an idea to make others happy. I don't know, you name it, whatever it may be for you. But if you have found yourself in a situation that the one you love and have sacrificed all your value for is using you, is lying to you, is abusing you, then this episode is for you. It is not noble or Christ-like to diminish your worth and freely trade it in for something of far less value. In fact, that is the exact opposite of it. Yet we tell ourselves it's for a bigger, better purpose. I still, to this day, strive to be Christ-like, to serve and to love without condition. But that starts with me. I will never be able to love anyone, and no one will ever be able to love me if I don't love, cherish, and respect myself. Beauty and value is in the eye of the beholder. Don't let anyone else's lack of understanding or their view diminish how much you are worth, and stop freely giving it up for things of far less value. Your sacrifices are coming from a good place, but they are directed in the wrong direction. It will take time to build and believe in yourself. So start today. Tell yourself that you are proud and grateful for the sacrifices you have made for others. But it is time to give her what she has been desperately seeking from everyone else. Don't give up. Keep working. Keep going. Take courage. And until next time, stay strong, my friends. If you have stuck with me thus far, I want to thank you. I have not been very consistent, and I know that that can be really frustrating. But now here we are in May. School's about to get out, and the hustle and bustle of summer is about to begin. So with that being said, I'm going to take a little time off of the podcast. I'm going to use the summer to get more topics and to be better prepared. That way I can come back and get a new episode out consistently. I hope you'll stay with me and join me here again come August. But I appreciate you being here now and all the support you